Okay. Tonight's Tuesday night, study of Revelation 13. I want to read to you a couple of things here. I mailed this. Sometimes I send an email to just a few friends, but I only sent this one to Dan and John. It said, "You might be a pastor if you've ever dreamed you were preaching only to awaken and discover that you really were." "You might be a pastor if you'd rather negotiate with terrorists than with the church deacons." "You might be a pastor if you've ever wanted to fire the church and form a congregation search committee." I thought that was good. "You've ever wanted to lay hands on a deacon and you didn't mean praying for him. You feel that it is your job to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable." Okay. Dan sent me an email that he got from Stuart. No, excuse me. This is from Matthias. This is from Matthias. So let's see. This would be in Nigeria. Stuart's in Zambia. So he said, that's good. I was thinking it'd be the other way. Well, I've been just spending yesterday and today and tomorrow just getting everything. I got a bed, spare bed that's just laid out with all the things I'm going to pack and take. And Dan called and he said, "Pick up about five of the little MP3 players for the preachers." And so I guess we'll just take it off of the $4,000 contributed. And so I got five of those. And to pack, I emailed him back and I said, "Well, I got the five MP3 players all packed. Where am I going to put my clothes? You won't let me take but one bag, and you want me to carry, 20 things in it." So he's carrying seven, so that's all right. "Dear Dan and Pat, I am writing this to please ask that you send me your itinerary again so that I can know how to conclude plans for your work here. I shall be having more than 50 pastors for you to train. We shall arrange a mini combine service," Dan and I knew this, "for you to meet some of our members, and we also plan on taking you to some churches in the evenings," that'll be during the week, we didn't know that, "for you to talk and to teach them. You shall also be having some people for baptism." And so Dan called me and said, "You ever done that?" And I said, "No." What they did at seminary is they wait till your senior year, because they're not going to waste their time if you flunked out or dropped out or didn't make it or whatever, or knew you didn't want to be a pastor. So the spring semester of your senior year, just before you leave, they do marrying and burying and baptizing, and that's when you do all those preacher things. And so we went down to the YMCA downtown and to practice baptizing. We ended up drowning more than we baptized. And so I told Dan that. I said, "Well, I'm good at drowning them." So we'll be doing that. And just don't leave them under too long. "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now let me tell you all about the Holy Spirit. Now what I want you to know about the... What do you stay down there? I'm not through. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I've laid out everything, and Dan reaffirmed. He said, "Herman, even with this," he said, "you're going to do the teaching." "I'm not." And I said, "Okay." And he said, I'll only teach if your voice goes, or something like that. And so I laid out everything I'm going to teach. I'm taking seven teaching charts, seven things I'm going to teach. And then I'm going to carry some they really love, and I understand this because I do, and I did in seminary, and I still do, if it's good. I'm taking some other charts that I'll just will copy when we arrive, and then I'll just give them. I'll go over them, but we won't study them. For an example, I asked Dan about taking them. If you remember the chart I gave you, where we started with, just went down the people in the Bible, and then we took the Southern King, the Northern King, and then we came all the way down to the cross. And in red were all the books of the Old Testament, where they were in history, dates, the whole deal. And he said, I asked him when he was here last week. I said, he said, Herman, they'd die for that. And I'll take that. What I'm trying to do is print up enough copies of that one, because I do like the color. Well, I'm going to do that on all the others. Everything else, I'm just taking the copy, and we'll make copies in Calabar. We'll make copies in various cities, two of the major cities that we'll go to before we go to the smaller villages. But that one I would like to have, so that, because the red just stands out for the books of the Bible, and that'll be very, very most effective for them. And I'm taking the chart of the. You remember we've dealt with it, and I might end up teaching it out of just something to come up. But where we studied were God and Satan, and then man in the garden in harmony with God. Satan come in and broke it with sin, and all of that. I'm going to take them that chart. We're going to take them. I'm taking them a copy of our little pamphlet on how spirituality is patterned off of our salvation. And the first thing we're going to do, I've worked up a sheet or two on Isaiah 28 that we'll go through, that'll be teaching. And then the second thing, we'll go from that to the 10 questions of Job. We'll flow through Job and look at those 10 questions, and I'm giving them a sheet compiled of those questions. And then we're going to go from that. Okay, so here's the questions, and here's the understanding of the whole Bible. Which sounds like a Herculean task, but I think we have a pretty good grasp on that flow of the Bible, where Job asks the questions, Old Testament answers, God said, I will do it alone. And where you remember, he said, I declare, I save, and I proclaim. And then the New Testament and the Gospels, where he saves, and then the church epistles, where we proclaim it, and then Revelation, the glory. So I got that will be the next thing they get. And we'll go through that, and then from there, we'll take a look at Schaefer's chart. I did a lot of work on it. In fact, I spent almost a whole day just redoing it, and I looked at it through the eyes of someone who it'll be new to, and maybe a little more difficult to grasp, not having a full foundation. And so went through with that in mind, and fixed it up on the computer and all, and sent it to John. And I really like John. Just appreciate our friendship, and just said, okay, you've been over there, take a look at this, teaching the pastors and all. Is there anything, is there too much here, or is there something not in there? And so he called me last night, and we talked about it, and I just say this in fun, he just said, man, this is so good, I'm going to make a PowerPoint presentation out of it, and I'm going to tell the church I sent it to you to maybe take to Africa. And I said, well, that's good, that's all right with me, I'm just happy it works. And so we'll go through that, and then we'll go through the little booklet that we have, and then we'll take a look at what is faith. And that will be the flow of the whole study. Stuart called, and he wants some eschatology done. And, of course, Dan laughed. He said, I know you love doing that. So I don't know that I'll have a chart, but we'll spend some time on the prehistoric world, this world. In other words, I'll deal with that under the study of why faith. Not only that it is faith, but why is it faith? Go through that with that study. That kind of a little bit of what we did in the Gospel of John is an intro to chapter 14. So I'll be doing that, and then all of that leading to, if there's time, the last hour or two with them on how all of this is geared towards spiritual love and the dynamics of spiritual love. So that's what I'm looking to do. We're going to carry, Galatians. At first I thought, okay, I need a disc for every pastor. And Jim Langston just looked at me so depressed, like, there's no way I can do that. And but Dan reminded me, they're only going to be about 14, and there's only going to be about 15 people with MP3 players. So you don't need to be taking more than that. And so that narrowed it down, but we're going to take Galatians, and we're going to take spiritual one another. Sad. And the reason I like sad, Jim, is because it just has so much in it, like what we receive at salvation's in there. So that's a whole study for these pastors in and of itself. And there's just so many things that they may not deal with, the problems we do of getting mad on the freeway or shopping and fine, but there's so much theology in them that they can reap a wealth of information from. And so we're going to do Galatians, sad, and one another, and spiritual love. So I don't know what I'm going to do for clothes. Maybe I'll wear two or three pairs of pants and two or three shirts on the plane. And I hope they don't ask me to take off my shoes or my short there. I'll keep taking them off. Everybody will start laughing. So be like stealing the wheelbarrow. I wonder what I'm stealing. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll just put them all on. So that is an ideal of what we're doing. Any questions? So number one, this is going to be in the check through, and when I get on the air, get into the airport here, I do not go through the international gate. But I do check that pass all the way to Abuja, Nigeria. All the way. I'm sorry? They will never see it other than, I guess when I check out of customs. They don't mind you having them, no. If the question's that, no, they don't mind. They don't mind. In fact, the first time Pat went through with an MP3 player, they called her over, and two or three guards, what is this? And she said, it's a CD player. That didn't communicate. And they said, what is this? And so she said, it plays music. What is this? And so she just took out a disc, opened it up, put it in, and boy, they went, ah, we confiscated. No, they didn't do that. But there's just a lot of problems on that same motif of the batteries. That's why I bought. They have, is it called alkaline? Anyway, it lasts longer. I bought those batteries to put in. Dan said, test them. And Jim and Wes helped me tonight. We just tested them. And that's all we're going to do. And they'll see about getting batteries. They can get batteries in the main city if they have the money. And Dan, I'll leave them some money too. But... So that's what we'll be doing in that respect. Yes? No. Now, let me qualify some of the things you said. Number one, in the two major cities, Abuja and Calabar, we will be able to go to a place, and Lagos, we'll be able to go to the city, and for an example, I will take all of the seven charts. There'll be more pages than just seven, but the seven charts, and we will give them to a copying place, and they will copy just as they would here, and then we come back and pick them up. It's not as fast as Kinko, it's not as all of that, but it is a copying place, so we will have that. Dan said at a couple of the places there is a capability of the computer going out. His cell phone will not work. The only cell phone that will work is what's called an international cell phone, and those are very expensive, I understand. Don Becker has one, but neither Dan nor I, certainly I don't. And but so cell phones won't work. And if when Dan and Pat need to communicate, they will do so at the he will call, she will know the time and date that he will call from the major cities that we will be going to, and they will have be able to land phone type thing there, but not cell phone. Yes. Nope. Will not know. Will not know. And so that'll be that. And okay. That's that. Any other questions? Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer. We got some fun stuff to cover tonight in our study in Revelation. So let's open to Revelation 13. I'm just having a ball with this, and especially there's just so much going on in the world today. So many political people, news people, commentators, and a few people that I consider in the Christian realm, like Hal Lindsey, a few that really kind of I trust a little bit in their analysis of things. But there's just so much talk of what's going on, like right now, I mean today, along the Gaza Strip. And so let's see how it's put together in our study. Let's prepare for prayer, by prayer. What a comfort it is, Heavenly Father, and what a joy to know that we can just have peace in our soul. The more we grasp eschatology, the events that you have recorded and given to us, but just there's just a relaxation, and as we see the things start coming together, we don't know when the rapture is going to occur and all these events, but there's so many things that have to be in place, and they're coming in place. And there's just something in the world, Heavenly Father, by even non-Christians, that something's going to happen. And what a thrill it is, what a joy it is to be able to look at the movement of all the players in history and just know we have peace in our soul because you're in total control. So, Father, we pray that tonight your Spirit will just continue to lead us in this study. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Revelation 13. We have the profile of the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, normally referred to as the Antichrist, verses 1 through 10, verses 11 through 18. I hope you've read them, or will read them. The profile of the leader of Israel, the false prophet. And both of these will come together and join forces in the tribulation, especially in the middle of the tribulation. And so this is going to be a powerful phenomenon that is going to occur. These two beasts will compose the power and authority of the dragon. Now, I want to just say a couple of moments with you. Let's talk about dictators. There has to be so many things in place, the correct conditions for a dictator to rise to power. One of the classic examples in our day and time is, of course, Adolf Hitler. Everything in Germany was in position. Now, Germany was not made up of ignorant people. There were some great, brilliant minds, well-educated people, but they were in economic disaster, military disaster, spiritually bankrupt, no spiritual momentum whatsoever in Germany at this time. They were people in fear. And people, just, you've got to appreciate the power of fear. They fear that what's going to happen to us. We can't even find bread in the stores. We no eggs, no butter, none of the basics, grain. We have no army. We're hungry. What's going to happen to us? We can't even find a job. There are no jobs. And it was, the conditions were just absolutely correct for a dictator like Hitler to take over. And just as a classic study, to study the conditions of Germany as he rose to power. You get a good feel of it in the History Channel sometime, because they will carry it this way. But the people needed help. They were controlled by fear. Think about fear. I'm afraid there are a lot of ladies who marry the wrong man, a dictator, a controlling brute, because they're afraid. They're afraid they may not get anybody else to love them and marry. They may not, they have no ability, so they need to be taken care of. And they will allow themselves to be run over by somebody because of this very principle. People do this in their work world. They're controlled by that fear. If I lose my job, I got to pay for my family. I got to pay the bills for my children, my family. So that we allow ourselves. So that's just on a personal level that we can identify with in America. But think of it as a whole country of Germany. But now, here's the deal tonight. The conditions have to be correct the world over, because this is going to be a world dictator. It's going to be a world dictator who's going to come into power. So we're talking about a nation, not just of a nation, but of the whole world with the rapture of the church. And if you just think about things where we are today and listen to the way people talk, the world is just growing in its fear of weapons of mass destruction. Terrorism, nuclear power, world disease, world poverty. And you can just see it just growing all over the world. Not just in one country, but the whole world is starting to develop this fear. And this is going to continue to the point, people, where the world is actually going to demand a dictator. They're going to demand, take the problems off of us. And the dictator of the revived Roman Empire is going to come forward. He's going to teach and proclaim peace and prosperity and safety. And the whole world is just going to go with him. And then you add to that world religion. Just think about what's happening over the world. The world's small today. Electronics, the satellites, all these things have made the world so small. We're overwhelmed with news that 100 years ago, they wouldn't have been, because it would have been 6 months after they heard about some disaster. And it wouldn't have really mattered. But now, the world is just so small, and world religion, the rise of the Islamic religion all over the world, they're virtually in every country, with an agenda to take over. That's their agenda. The rise of what we'll simply call, for right now, I'll talk about it later, the New Age. With a unbelievable increase in vegetarianism, various types of yoga practice, transcendentalism, mystical spiritualism, the release of human energy, the multitude of cults forming all over the world. There's just so much going on. The unbelievable increase among Indians in America, that Jesus actually was on earth walking through all across America. And you tell a lie enough times and it becomes fact. That's just the hardcore of life. You tell a lie enough times by enough people, it becomes fact. And we just have such mysticism, myths going on. And all you have to do is get on the internet. And if you don't have anything to do, just get on the internet, you'll really be depressed until you remember that Christ is in control. Then you take things like the rise of the Roman Catholic Church wanting its power, charismatic experiences, emotionalism, the way it controls. It's really interesting that we went through various stages in history. There was a period in history of high emotionalism. Then we went through a period, starting with the Enlightenment age, where any type of spiritual was just shunned. It had to be scientific. It had to be shown and proven. And if it went against science, it just was abandoned. It had to have rational thought. People, we're moving at a height of science development. We're moving into a height of just unbelievable mysticism, that people will believe almost anything. in the world. Another thing to watch for is how many religious people and movements are looking for a leader, looking for a Messiah, not Jesus Christ. They don't want him, but just some kind of Savior who will save the world. And you'll find this in their writings. And they're looking for it and waiting for it. It's just growing all over the world. All this leading into a one world government, one world religion movement, not surrounded around Jesus Christ, not centered around Christ. Another thing that is interesting here is that while the world is in a in mass over the world rejecting Jesus Christ, there is a remarkable rise in the belief of a most unbelievable mysticism. You just see much more of it. Reject Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the whole thing laid out in the Bible. No book is like the Bible. It tells you where we came from, why we were here, what happened there, where we're going, answers everything. Nope, we don't want that Jesus. We don't want Jesus Christ. We want this mysticism. We want this uncertainty. We want stuff that's beyond scientific and beyond rational thought. And so this sets people up for Satan's lie. And what's Satan's lie in this study? Satan's dictator. And you combine all this into a dominance of saving mankind from self-destruction. You're going to see here in a lot of that. We're going to save man from destroying himself with nuclear power, global warming, how we're destroying ourselves, chaos. And out of chaos is where a dictator rises, people. It's where chaos rises. And all of this stuff is just like a snowball in throughout the world, getting ready for a dictator. Remember last week we studied there will be three nations. I found it very interesting. Went back and looked at it, no way of knowing. There will be three nations that will not buy into Satan's lie of this dictator. And they're going to have to be militarily subdued by the beast from the sea. And what countries these are, we don't know, but they're probably nations that just love freedom. Freedom-loving people that had guns. And like Australia, like Texas. It'll be countries like that that will not do it. I don't know if that's where America is or not. I don't know if America is going to be that country or not. I don't see it because I see us moving away from it today. But I do know that if you just go across America, there are still a over 50% population with weapons. And that's good. But all of this is just setting the case. Now, last week we looked at Daniel and 2 Thessalonians. Now, what I want to do is read a little bit in Revelation 13. I got one other area that I would have wished we could have finished last week, but let's take a look at it. But look at what we're going to be seeing. Revelation 13, 1, and he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns, 7 heads. We studied all of this. His horns were 10 diadems, and his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. We have his characteristics there. And in verse 2, and the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority. Now, tonight what I'd like you to do, if you don't mind, let's look at, last week we looked at 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians a moment, please. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Chapter 5. I'm going to take a look at the historical events here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, deal with the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds. Not seen by the whole world, but he will come for the church. Verse 17, for an example, it begins in verse 13. Let's just read it. It's so wonderful. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that's believers who are dead, that you may not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that they have no hope because they don't know Jesus Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this is the way, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, could have happened in Paul's days, what he's saying, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord for all eternity. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's so powerful that God just said, hey, I want you at peace. I want you at peace about people who die that you love, your parents, your children, your spouses, these things. Just so beautiful. Now, chapter 5, 1 through 10 is concerned with what takes place. Just flow. Forget the chapter break. So let's just continue reading now. Comfort one another with those words, verse 18, now verse 5. Now, as to the times and epochs, time of the end of the church, end of the time of the 7 years to Israel, time of the tribulation, the epoch or the things that will occur in this period, brethren, believers, you have no need of anything to be written to you. Dash, you won't be here. Okay? Verse 2, for you yourselves know full well, because Paul has taught them, I wish believers knew it, full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Okay, what does this mean? Over my lifetime, I've heard some really weird interpretations of this, right up to even making Jesus Christ a bad guy because he's made to look like a thief in the night. So what's going on here? Okay, let me just explain to you what's going on. He will come like a thief in the night. Okay, night is darkness, Satan's time. The dictator is on earth. Now, the dictator has set up all kinds of barriers on earth to stop anything from defying him, from anything getting his glory. And this is to stop the things like the rapture, to stop the things that are going to be coming. He wants to stop all of that. So he sets up all of these things. So this is simply saying that Jesus Christ will break through all his barriers like a thief in the night. Just think about it in our frame of reference. First he's got to get through our fences, and then through our locked doors, and then past our dogs, and then alarm systems, and then teenagers. He's got to get through all of that. See? And for the thief to do all this, he does that in the night. Well, this is what Jesus Christ will do. He will break in through all of the things that the dictator of the revived Roman Empire will put up all over the earth. He will break through and do what? Rescue believers. He will come in and get all the believers. Day of the Lord, boy, you know that one. We've seen this so many times now. This begins with the removal of the church. It begins with the beginning of the 7 years promised to Israel, tribulation. First phase of the day of the Lord is the rapture and the tribulation. Then it intensifies with the setting up of the statue of abomination in the temple. And then phase three, the battle of Armageddon, the second advent. And then the last phase is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ for the millennium. So, now let's go to verse 3. While they are saying, okay, now, while they are saying, this will be the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, the dictator of all of the seven heads, the 7 day, 10 nations. All right, this is what they're saying. Look at it. Peace and safety. Here's the platform of one world government. The world will be ready for this with the rapture of the church. They'll be in fear. Be in chaos. One world religion, world peace, no weapons of mass destruction, peace, safety, no threat of nuclear destruction, no terrorists, safety, no mass death by disease. While they are saying, while they're saying it, peace and safety, then just when the world thinks all everything is good and safe, because people, he will bring in unbelievable prosperity for a very short time. He will bring it in. It will be unbelievable prosperity on earth for a short time. Then, look here, destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, you got to stay a little bit in context here. They don't have hospitals and know all that we know about giving birth and all the things. It just happens, boom, and all of a sudden, boy, the woman's ready to give birth, and no notification or anything. It just starts happening. Okay, verse 4. But you, brethren, please note the contrast. Verse 3, they. Verse 4, you. Who's they? They refers to those who reject Jesus Christ and run to the dictator and worship him and worship Satan. All those things we saw. It's amazing what people will do who reject Jesus Christ as Savior. It is amazing what people do who reject Jesus Christ, what they will believe. Even believers will move away from Jesus Christ and his love. Then it says, you. Now, by contrast, this refers to those who do humble themselves, see who Jesus Christ is, abide in his spirit by faith, abide in his love. There'll be a few and they'll be persecuted. Are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. Verse 5. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. One of the many things that happened to us when we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, regardless of the dispensation, is that you are permanently, eternally positioned in the light. Now, why do we want to walk by the Spirit? Because when you walk by the Spirit, you're walking resembling the light that you're in positionally. You're walking in the light instead of in darkness when we're not in the Spirit. So we're being who we are. We are not night nor of darkness. Verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. One problem. Not really a problem, but fun to note. If you have the New American Standard, if you look in the margin and see that word others, this is really cool. The Greek word is remaining. Remaining. Now, principle. All the believers will be removed from the earth. And all those who remain on the earth will be the unbelievers. That's why, regardless of the series, that it's a catchy title, Left Behind. That's remaining. Those are who will remain. And if you're going to see in your margin, it says remaining. See? We will not be caught by surprise, for we will have already been called up to meet Jesus Christ in the air, taken to be with him for all eternity. But those unbelievers remaining, well, all this is going to catch them by surprise, literally by shock. They're going to be shocked at all the things, at how quickly things are going to happen. Okay, why and how? Well, they will, as they go along, remaining, and then so as the rapture occurred, and now they're on earth, and they start listening to safety and peace, and just when they start feeling comfortable with that, this is going to happen. Pow! The Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. So this is what we have going on. He will raise a platform of peace and safety. And all the things that happened in the rapture won't happen again, and world war will not happen, and world disease and global warming and all these things, and people can buy right into it, and it will be true for a short period of time. Verse 8, but since we are of the day, light of Jesus Christ, let us be sober. Now, what's sober mean? This is not a temperance message. This is not some anti-booze message. Being sober is walking in the Spirit. What did Paul say? Do not be drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. So being sober is being filled with the Spirit. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now verse 9 is the great promise for all believers of the church in regard to the rapture. Here it is, and the tribulation. For God has not destined us for wrath. Now, what wrath is being talked about here? This is the wrath of the tribulation. This is something really wonderful, people. We're not destined for the wrath of judgment, because we are in Christ. Christ took our judgment. And now we're not destined for the wrath on earth. We have passed out of death into life. Therefore, we have passed out of judgment. Let me read to you, John. You don't need to turn there. I want to do it real quick for you, but just flowing with this very quickly. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24, let me read it to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. People, we're going to be taken, there'll be no judgment for us whatsoever in that sense. No wrath of God. John chapter 3, verse 18. Let me read that to you. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But people, here's something even as great as that is. That no matter what your life's about, you're not going to go into the wrath of judgment. You're not going to be there. You're not even going to be in the wrath that's going to come to earth. I always like people, oh man, things can't get worse. Oh, people, they've been worse. They've been worse. But they're going to get the worst they've ever been through all human history. But they've been worse in the Spanish Inquisition. They've been worse during the Crusades. They've been worse on earth. But never like they're going to be at this wrath, and we're not even going to be here. So, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a good place to see a word that I try to get you to feel for, that the word soterion doesn't just mean salvation, but deliverance. Here's a good place to see translating it deliverance, but it can be so even in our eternal life salvation, eternal life deliverance. So it's a deliverance from the wrath of the tribulation. That's what we're delivered from, out of. Verse 10, that's the rapture. Boom. Verse 10. Who died? Jesus Christ, the end of verse 9. Who died for us, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you are doing. Great Church of Thessalonica. Now, so many believers today prefer to judge one another, discourage one another, accuse one another, separate from one another, bite one another, compete with one another, size yourself up with one another. But here we're to encourage one another, build up one another with this. Now, what's important for us to understand here, one of the great things, the platforms of the dictator of the revived Roman Empire is going to be the one world unity. One world unity and ecumenicalism and all this type of thing. What's the unity of believers? Well, we just saw it Sunday morning. The gospel. The truth of the gospel is the unity of believers. And then secondly, spiritual love. Paul says in Colossians, spiritual love is the perfect bond of unity. But be very careful, because I think as we get closer to all of this, we're going to have all kinds of unity, and it's going to include Christians. One world government, even if it claims to be Christian, without Jesus Christ coming, people, it's a lie. It's a lie that they think they can do it. It's a lie. Bear that in mind. What is going to bring the peace? Jesus Christ coming. The second advent. Bear that in mind when you hear these things going on, because it's going to sound very appealing. And a person that's not filled with the Spirit is going to buy into the one world peace, one world government, one world to take care of people. I don't like the weapons of mass destruction. I don't like the terrorist threats, all these type of things. But the solution is not going to be unity on earth without Jesus Christ. And that's what you and I have got to listen for on all of the propaganda that is going to come up. So we have to be aware of the movements to claim to end the threat of nuclear destruction, terrorists, global warming, and all these kinds of things. We've got to be very aware they're not talking about the second coming of Christ. And we know that's the only thing that's going to do it. So they're not going to get, as it were, just putting it in simple terms, they're going to get my gun. They're not going to get it. And it's not going to happen. But bear in mind, most of the world is going to buy into it. The worst, if the world is not united behind this man, he's going to convince them, then you're going to be up for mass destruction, you're going to be up for diseases, poverty, all these things, things we don't want, none of us want. But it's a lie on how it's going to be prevented. It's going to be a big lie. And just as man has rejected Jesus Christ all through the church age and followed men, the Muslims, the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, Christian Scientists, and unmentionable thousands of cults that have come and gone. They serve Kool-Aid in some of them, and some of them they do other things. They go to mountains, they go here, they go to little places. This has been going on all through church history. The world is ready for a dictator. Let's go back to Revelation 13 and let's get a look going here now. We have read and studied up to verse 5, so let's just pick it up, if you don't mind, at verse 5. And in Revelation 13, let me turn there with you. Revelation 13, and as I said, we've done it, verse 3, just very quickly. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been slain. Now that's going to be another thing. It's going to get him so much power. The dictator will be slain, and then he's going to rise up. A fatal wound was healed. This is what Satan's going to do to this beast, and it's just going to amaze the world and the whole earth. World will be amazed and follow after the beast. He's going to have his platform. He's going to have done those kinds of things. Well, he's got to be Christ. He's got to be God. And they worship the dragon because he gave the authority. And people, there's already satanic worship already all over the world. Satanic, look on the internet, take a look. It is just unbelievable, Satan worship going on all over the world. Not by dumb people, by brilliant minds even. And then duped people, duped brilliant minds. Who is like the beast and who is able to wage war against him? That's why there's going to be peace. Now we come to verse 5. And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. So we know it's religion, world religion. And authority to act for 42 months was given to him. All right, the world believes his lies of all that he will do for them on the earth. And he is allowed to carry this on for 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Why 42 months? Because that is when Satan's time to do anything is up. This is all set out. He has 42 months at this. Not only will Satan not be given authority or power, but he himself will have no power or authority after the 42 months. Blasphemies. Let's talk about that. We've already talked about the mouth of speaking. We looked at Daniel. We looked at various passages on how he is going to be the most unbelievable charismatic speaker. He's going to have a smooth tongue, a smooth voice, and it's going to mesmerize women all over the world. They're going to follow after him. Men are going to follow after him. It's just going to be unbelievable what's going to be happening here. Blasphemies. Blasphemies means defame or talk falsely about. That's the basic concept of what the Greek word means. Defame, bring down, or talk falsely about. The one world government must get rid of free thinking Christians. So here is part of their plan. They will murder, intimidate, they will murder believers, intimidate believers. They will blaspheme God. They've got to. A Christian who walks in the power of the Spirit is a threat to anybody who wants to control. A husband over a wife, a parent over a child, a pastor over his congregation. I know many pastors that want to just completely control the church, their people. The Roman church wants to control. You can't really understand the Bible. Only Papa and certain people can understand this book. That's where you get to control people. You get somebody walking in the power of the Spirit who knows that they have the power of the Spirit in them. You can't control that kind of person. They're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's a wonderful thing every husband should know, because that is a beautiful woman who submits and responds to a man under the leading of the Spirit. That is the most beautiful thing in the world. It is so beautiful to have a man who will use his authority in regard to his wife and family as unto Christ. It's beautiful the way God designed it, but got to get rid of that kind of thinking. Now, his blasphemies will be in three directions. Verse 6. First, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God. Okay, what's going on here? Arrogant, self-righteous people, dictators or not, would be dictators. People, we all have a desire to be a dictator. If you deny that, you're denying yourself. We all have it. But dictators are characterized, now watch this, dictators are characterized by attacking and slandering those who will not succumb to their power or their desires. This is characteristic. It's got to be done. Those who would be dictators, even on a small level, it could be in a marriage, it could be in a church, it could be in a group of believers or unbelievers, whatever. Dictators are characterized by attacking, slandering those who will not succumb to their desires. And they will do it ever so. So the smarter they are, the more subtle is their attack. Got to be very careful. The smarter they are, the more subtle their attacks, the more believable their attacks. Believers who will not submit to this man's powers must be killed. Now they are out of his power, because so they've got to be killed. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all the beast can do is to try to make himself look superior. By what? Bringing God down. Blaspheming God. That's all you have to do. And it's so interesting how people who do not believe in God or in Jesus Christ blaspheme God, Jesus Christ, ridicule in their mind. And also how people will do this and want to bring them down. Oh, you have a loving God? Oh, is what has happened in the world a love from a loving God? Look how many children die. Look how many people die of starvation. Is that your loving God? All you have to do is start bringing him down and use facts. Use your beautiful rhetoric and facts, and you can start what? Bringing God down. That's blasphemy. And so what happens is he's weakened in the thoughts of the minds of people. So you slander. People like to run down, slander, blaspheme those that they're against. Let's just put it on a human level. There are people who do this against their parents or against somebody else's parents, teachers, police, the police officers, leaders. Make them low in the mind of other people. Just start giving contempt. This the breed of doubt, of distrust, all these kinds of things. And that's how you lay out tearing down a church or a nation or a home or a family or anything. That's all you start doing. You just start tearing down whatever it is that is an enemy to your desires and what you want. That is, he blasphemes against all three members of the Godhead, opens his mouth and blasphemes against God. He blasphemes against God the Father, saying there is no supreme God. There is Satan and man. He blasphemes against God the Son, maligning salvation through him alone, putting all kinds of false thoughts and doubts about this man, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God. Bring him down. Do it subtly. And people will buy into it. And then finally, the Holy Spirit. He denies the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, the second area. To blaspheme his name. First, this means to deny God as the absolute being, claiming that his own name is above the name of Jesus Christ. He blasphemes the very name of Jesus Christ. We have that in a very local level of just using Jesus Christ as cursing. But he will actually set it up that he is either superior, Jesus was a prophet, a good man or not good, or this kind of thing. Note the third area very quickly. And his tabernacle. His tabernacle. That is those who dwell in heaven. Who's he talking about here? Martyrs of the tribulation, including all the believers who went up in the rapture. People, one of the biggest lies that has got to be done when the rapture is gone, if you think about it, one of the biggest lies is, what happened? What happened to all those people? Because there's going to be enough that'll be noticed. I don't know how many, but there'll be enough. And he's going to have to come up with a lie. And it'll be far superior than body snatchers. And he'll do stuff. Just for an example, we had to get rid of those people because they were against our one world government and against peace. They were against the things we want to do. See, for an example, the real enemies today, people, are Christians who have in their soul the standards set forth in the Bible. It's not the homosexuals and the lesbians and all the derelicts. It's those who have norms and standards in their soul. Those have to be gotten rid of. They have got to be eliminated. And so I can just see, I don't know what it's going to be, but I could just see in my own mind that all you got to do is convince everybody those were troublemakers, like Hitler did the Jews, and Germans bought it. Germans bought it, yes. Parents. See, Hitler did that with the Jewish kids. We don't want them breeding. We don't want them breeding themselves. And so this is the things that he's going to do in his lies. And people are going to buy into all of this. So this is what he do. Why this emphasis in the speeches of the beast? Why the blasphemies of those who were in heaven? People, because he's got to get just make excuse and make an understanding of all these things. Okay, we'll begin here when I get back from Africa. And so we'll pick it up. I don't know if we'll have the momentum we have right this minute, but we'll pick it up. And I request your prayers as Dan and I travel starting Sunday, but in speaking and be in prayer for the pastors and just everything that will be involved is you and I go to Africa and do this teaching. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we read of the beast and the dragon and all these things and what's going to happen. Father, it's kind of like reading if somebody could report before Hitler came to power in Germany. It'd be so frightening. Million Jews killed, slaughtered, burned, gassed. It would be beyond comprehension. And we read these things and realize this is not a storybook. You're letting us in before it happens so that we can have peace and encouragement, especially if we are near the time of the rapture. We praise you, Father, for the God you are. We praise you that you are the sovereign, omnipotent God. There is no power beside thee. And we thank you that you loved enough to offer salvation, spirituality, peace. We praise you for the God you are. I pray, Father, as we close tonight, that you'll give this assembly more and more opportunity to spread this gospel now to Africa, wherever we go. This gospel is so beautiful that we have. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you.